Greetings from El Montecito Presbyterian Church, and thank you for taking time to listen to this message. We hope you find it to be meaningful and relevant. We are located at 1455 East Valley Road in Santa Barbara, California. If you have any comments or questions, you can reach us by phone at 805-969-5041 or visit us on our website at www.elmopress.org. And now, may God bless you as you give attention to His Word.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm glad your church says good morning back. You know, they didn't ask me this during the interview process. You guys know about the love languages? Everyone has a love language, his primary love language. They didn't ask me what mine was during the interview process, but someone figured it out. It's barbecue. And I came in a little early this morning, and Jay and Gary were out there. The red oak was going, and the smell was starting to... So we're going to make this a quick sermon, and we're going to go eat some tri-tip, right? So we are settled. We're getting settled. The stacks of boxes and miles of tape and piles of packing paper are starting to diminish, and we've got just a little bit left to unpack. But we are beyond excited to begin serving the Lord here at El Montecito Presbyterian Church with you all. And yes, we thank you for your prayers and the barbecue and the warm welcome, and we really are starting to already feel like family, which is so important, and I thank you for your support during this time of transition. And to be honest with you, moving your entire family across the country, it's really hard. It's just not that easy. But it's so worth it, and we are so excited to be here, so thank you. The other day, we were driving by Jocelyn and Annie's new elementary school, Roosevelt Elementary, and the sign in front of the school said, "I do believe it's time for another adventure." And I think that sums up well what I'm feeling right now, what we as a church family are probably feeling right now. It's time for another adventure. You know, when we say yes to following Christ, we say yes to adventure. And one of my favorite phrases with my team of ministry people that I work with is always an adventure. When you sign up to follow Christ, when you give your life to Jesus, something is always about to happen. And that's what the word adventure means. The advent of something exciting. Something is about to happen. And a huge part of that adventuring with Christ is trust. Trust. Without trusting God, it's hard to jump into a new adventure. Without trusting God, it's hard to hire a new pastor. It's hard to move to a new church family. It's hard to do anything much for the glory of God. As Dana Allen reminded us last week so wonderfully, one of ECO's characteristics of a flourishing church is normalizing risk-taking. Normalizing risk-taking. It's normal for us to want to avoid risk at all cost. But adventure requires risk, courage, and a great deal of trust. My daughters would probably say pixie dust in there somewhere too, but we won't go there this morning. You know, everyone trusts in something, right? You all are trusting these pews and chairs you're sitting in this morning. You're putting a great deal of trust in them. We trust in ourselves quite a bit. We trust in our jobs, our families, our friends, the government, our health, intellectual ability, the stock market. We trust in lots of different things. But this morning, here in worship, we're going to talk about trusting God. And I want us to turn to one of the most well-known scripture passages about trust, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. And I could think of no greater verse to begin my ministry here with you all in preaching than Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 8. Turn with me in your Bibles, or it's printed in your bulletin, to that verse. And I want to challenge us on something before we read this verse together. Don't let familiarity with this passage lull you into complacency this morning. I know you've heard this preached many times by many preachers, but this morning, let's look at it with fresh eyes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He'll make your path straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Now, in order to understand the context of these verses, we need to look back at the beginning of chapter 3 to verse 1. So look there real quickly. It begins with, "My son, don't forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart." Now, the phrase "my son" is used three times in Proverbs chapter 3. Through Solomon, God is speaking to us as his adopted and loved children. Scripture teaches us that through Jesus Christ, we are God's sons and daughters. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus, we are adopted into God's family. And this is the greatest news we will ever hear. God, our heavenly Father, has purchased us with the price of his Son to make us his children. Through Jesus Christ, we are God's children. And before the foundation of the world, God chose us, he loves us, and he wants us to be his children. Now, resting in that truth is where trust begins. Proverbs 3 teaches that trust is rooted in the knowledge that we are God's children through Jesus Christ. God isn't just putting up with us. We aren't just projects for God. We aren't strangers. We aren't distant relatives that sort of drop in every once in a while and surprise us. We aren't just good friends with God. We are his children. We're his children. You know, as a dad, I have to say, there's nothing I wouldn't do to protect, love, care for, and nurture my children. As parents, we sacrifice a great deal to care for, love, and nurture, and protect our children, and we're only human. I know that God is the greatest parent in this universe. And if we begin to see God as our heavenly Father, we experience his loving kindness. This goes way beyond any human's ability to be a good parent. And in this passage in Proverbs 3, God even describes his love in this beautiful covenantal language. Look at verse 3 of Proverbs chapter 3, and it says, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you." Love and faithfulness is two English words that capture one Hebrew word. It's the word hesed. It's the word from Kara's prayer this morning. The loving kindness of God, the steadfast love of God. It's the kind of language God uses to talk about his covenantal love with his children. Hesed is this deep loving kindness that God, it's his strongest language of love and promise. Hesed is a sacrificial, never-ending, deep love, and it's the kind of love that God has for us. Since the creation of Adam and Eve, God has made a promise, a commitment to his chosen people. God has gone to great lengths to show this covenantal love to you and me, this deep, consistent, never-ending love. We can trust God because we know and rely on this deep love that God has for his children. Now we look again at verse 5 here, and we see this beautiful picture of trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now trust in this verse is in the imperative verb tense. This is a demand. This is a command from God. We are to trust because we are his children. The literal Hebrew word order of verse 5 sounds a bit like Yoda from Star Wars. But I think it helps in hearing what God is saying. He says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. On your understanding, do not lean." I can't really do it that well. You know, it's pretty easy to trust in our own understanding, isn't it? You know, we go to school, or we went to school. We read books. We have deep conversations. We go to seminars. We take advanced training. We watch YouTube. We know how to Google. Do you remember what it was like to wonder? We don't wonder anymore, do we? You just Google it. We have smartphones in our pockets and with us all the time. We have lots of knowledge and understanding. And God says, you know what? All that learning, all that understanding is great, but don't let it replace your deep trust for me. To be clear here, God is not saying to turn off our minds. We grow in knowledge of understanding, and every day we love God with all our heart, our soul, our strengths, and our mind, right? We don't need to be afraid of understanding as followers of Christ. In fact, we have a responsibility to enrich our minds and wrestle with the deep questions of life. But God is always Lord over our understanding. We need to remain humbly dependent upon the God who knows infinitely more than we could ever know or comprehend. Don't trust in your own understanding. And then God says, don't trust in your own heart. What does it mean to trust in our own heart? I think I see this every once in a while when someone says to me, you know what, I know this is God's will for me because I have this really good feeling about it. It just feels right. There's a peaceful, easy feeling in my gut. Now, I'll say this. Sometimes you might have a peaceful, easy feeling when it's God's will, but there are times when I think I can have a peaceful, easy feeling about things that aren't God's will. Let me give you two biblical examples. The first is Jonah. Don't you love Jonah? There's no one in Scripture more clearly trusting in his own understanding and leaning on his own heart than Jonah. God says, go to Nineveh, and Jonah gets on a boat, and he goes the exact opposite direction to Tarshish. He's, I'm not going to Nineveh, God. You want me to go to Nineveh? I'm going the other way. And what's he doing while trusting in his own understanding? He's sleeping in the bottom of the ship. He's taking a little nap. And he has to be woken up by a storm, right? So I think there are times where we can trust in our own understanding, but it's not God's best. And then you contrast Jonah with Jesus in Scripture, about to go to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we're told that he is sweating drops of blood. And he prays to the Father, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but your will be done. Jesus didn't have a peaceful, easy feeling about what he was about to go through, but he was more in God's will than anyone else in all of human history. As Christians, our confidence is not in our own abilities. It's not in some impersonal teaching or philosophy or mystical spiritual force. As Christians, our confidence is in Jesus Christ himself. The kind of trust that Jesus deserves, even demands for us, is complete, wholehearted, unreserved trust. The Hebrew word for trust in this passage actually shares its root with an Aramaic word for trust that literally means to fall face forward, spread eagle on the ground. I love this picture of trusting God. Trust is not passive. Trust is active. A couple of days ago, we were swimming with the family, and my 7-year-old daughter, Jocelyn, said to me, hey, Daddy, watch this. And normally where I come from in Georgia, when someone says, hey, watch this, it's followed up by a trip to the emergency room. But Jocelyn caught my attention, and she jumped face first, spread eagle, into the water with the biggest belly flop a 7-year-old could do, and just laughed. I think trusting God is like that sometimes. It's like a belly flop into God's goodness. We belly flop into God with all our mess and our sin and our failure and our inability and our insecurity. We put everything on God, the trustworthiness of God. We commit so completely to God. There's no turning back. We're all in. There's no place to go but belly flopping into his embrace. Not to give too many stories about my kids, but I'm going to give you a couple more here. You got to get to know me. You're going to get to know my girls. So sorry, Annie, I owe you a dollar. Don't tell Jocelyn I used her name. It'll save me a dollar. When Annie was about 6 years old, we had a staircase in our house that she'd go up on about the fourth or fifth step. And she would say, "Come here, Dad, I won't do anything." And I'd walk over, and before I could gather myself, Annie would just jump from that step right into my arms. I never dropped her, but if I did, I'd have been in big trouble. But she was so all in that commitment that Daddy was going to catch her that she didn't even think about it. She just jumped into my arms. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding means we revere God, we worship God, we obey God, and we acknowledge that He is God and we are not, and we belly flop into His presence. Belly flopping into the Lord is actually clarified in verses 6 to 7, and it gets a little more exciting. I just love this section. It says, "In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil." In all your ways submit to Him. Don't be wise in your eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. That all starts with obedience to God's word and truth, in my understanding. And you know, most of us this morning, I think if you asked us, we would say we believe that this is God's word and God's truth, and we want to submit our lives to this word, and it's beautiful, and it's God-breathed, and it's just this beautiful thing. We're a scripture-preaching church and a scripture-believing people, and the denomination we're a part of affirms that in such beautiful ways. But what happens when we come across something in God's word that runs right head into what we want to be true? Here's an example. The fourth of the Ten Commandments is to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Well done. You guys all got it right, especially the person in the front row. Pretty simple, right? Don't forget to take a day off, completely dedicated to worship and rest. Work for 6 days, rest for 1 day. Set aside 1 day out of 7 to wholly focus on our holy God. We understand what God's word is saying, but do we really trust Him enough to submit all our ways to Him? Our own understanding, our own heart often says, "I got a lot to do, and I'm not sure that's going to work this week. I have reports due, projects to complete, and way too much work to take a day off. I didn't get everything done on Saturday, so it's bleeding into Sunday." We don't say it, but we're pretty sure God's not really got this one right. God never had a boss like mine with impossible goals to complete and deadlines to meet, right? God doesn't have a mortgage the size of ours to pay each month. Jesus didn't have the kind of distractions and burdens that we carry around in our lives, right? But trusting the Lord begins with obedience. In all your ways, submit to Him. Don't be wise in your own eyes. A few years ago, Lori sent Jocelyn up to bed. She said, "Jocelyn, it's time to go upstairs, brush your teeth, and go to bed." And Jocelyn looked at Lori with these big, big brown eyes, and she said, "Mommy, I loves you." And Lori said, "That's great, Jocelyn, I love you too, but when you love me, you'll do what Mommy says to do." And Jocelyn looked at Mommy and said, "Mommy, maybe I just loves you a little." Watch out for that one. John 14:15 is pretty clear. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commands." Lori was just being biblical with our daughter, right? Sometimes I look at Jesus and I say, "Maybe I just loves you a little." Trusting the Lord and leaning not on our own understanding begins with obeying God's word, trusting His commands. And it takes humility and courage, but I promise you, the rewards of obedience are rich beyond comprehension. Look at verse 8. This obedience, this trust, it brings health to your body. and nourishment to your bones. It seems to be, according to Scripture, that trusting in the Lord brings this health and nourishment. And we know that there are people out there with unhealthy bodies that trust in the Lord and fear the Lord and run from evil. So this is a figure of speech, but it's a powerful figure of speech. And you almost have to be bilingual to understand this. Are any of you bilingual? You know the King James Version? If you're bilingual, you can understand this better. It says in the King James, "It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." Health to your belly button and marrow to thy bones. The word translated by the NIV, body, is literally navel or belly button. What does that mean, health to your belly button? Well, there are a couple of ideas thrown around by theologians. One is that the belly button is the point of connection and life and nourishment from a mother to a baby. Without the belly button and the umbilical cord, the baby will not live. When we're living our lives, trusting, obeying, connecting to God, we are nourished by God. We are sustained by God. And this is the way that we are made to thrive, folks. Also, not to get too graphic here, but when a baby is first born, the belly button is really gross. I mean, let's just be honest. If you've had a baby, you know what I'm talking about here. For about 2 weeks, there's a black scab right there where the belly button should be. And we take care of it, and it looks like something that's sort of out of a horror movie, to be honest. And once this black scab falls off, I know, way too much information, something happens miraculously, and that belly button becomes the most adorable and irresistible part of that baby. You cannot look at a baby's belly button without wanting to touch it. or give it a Zerber. And that, to me, is a picture of what God has done in our lives. God says, "I will make your belly button healthy." He's saying that I'm going to take the part of you that is the grossest, your sin, your disobedience, you're trying to do it on your own, thinking that you are God and I am not, the essence of sin. I am going to take that, and by my amazing grace, I will take the grossest part of you and I will make it the most irresistible part of you. I will make it what people see and are compelled to say, "What is it about you that makes you different?" Oh, it's your obedience to God. It's your love of God. We are not saved by our own understanding, folks. We're saved by trusting in God's amazing love for you and for me. Are you all ready for another adventure? Are you ready to continue being used by God for His glory in Montecito and beyond? Because I am. The Haugens are. Are we ready to confess those areas where we trust in our own abilities and give those to God? Are we willing to give Him the areas we're afraid of and give our fears to our Heavenly Father and risk it all for His glory and His renown? Are we ready to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding, and in all our ways give Him the honor and glory that He deserves? Let's recklessly trust the Lord together as we adventure into serving Him. Would you pray with me? Lord, give us courage to trust You from the bottom of our hearts. We don't want to try to figure it out on our own anymore. Help us to listen for Your voice and Your word in everything we do and everywhere we go. You're the one, Lord Jesus, who will keep us on track. We don't know it all. We want to run to You and run away from evil so that in our obedience we may glow with health, that our belly buttons may be beautiful and irresistible to the world around us as we shine Christ in this community. Lord, by Your amazing love and grace, we trust this. And all God's people said, Amen.